Some amongst us are handymen and perhaps have done a little bit of building from time to time. Some in our congregation are skilled tradies and know all about how to build stuff, everything from buildings to engines to all sorts of things. Lots of us have or are building a family. Some are building a lifestyle. A way of enjoying life. Some people are just building a life. I wonder if you feel like you're doing a good job. Do you feel like you're going well at building life? I wonder if you're consciously building or things are just rolling out or things are just happening around you. Well, today we're going to talk about building our lives upon Jesus. What kind of builder are you? How are you going at building your life upon the Lord Jesus? Let's pray as we get underway. Thank you, Father, for your precious word, which is the word of life. Help us, Father, to turn our minds and our hearts to that word now. Help me to speak the truth and to speak clearly. Help us to grapple with the truths of your word. And we pray that we would be wise builders. Amen. Well, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." When he talks about these words of mine, what words is he talking about? Well, he's obviously talking about the words he's just been speaking. This little parable, if you like, this little analogy that he's using at the end of building a house, comes right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He's summing up everything he's been saying. "You've been listening to me," he says, and all these different sayings, some of them very hard. "You've been listening to them all. Now, how will you respond to these words? What will you do with them?" Now, of course, all of Jesus' teaching is consistent with this sermon. It's not that Jesus says one thing here and different things elsewhere. And so, of course, it applies to all the words of Jesus. But in this context, he has in mind the words he's just been speaking. Now, he talks about the wise man and the foolish man. Let's look at the wise man. The wise man builds his house upon rock. Why does he build his house upon a rock? Because it's a sure and solid foundation for a house. It will bear the weight. It will be secure. As the earth changes, as weather changes, all that kind of thing. When the extensions were being put on our house in Myora Road, we had to dig deeper than expected. It cost a little bit more than was anticipated because the builder had to dig deeper down to find the rock to put the foundations on. Now, why would we go to that sort of trouble? Well, because the world is very changeable and circumstances are changeable. Jesus talks about the storms coming, the rain, the floods, the winds. And because the house is built upon solid rock, the house is secure. The storms come and the floods rise and beat against the house, but it stands. It's secure because of its strong foundation. And so the person who lives in that house, the man who built it, is safe. He's secure. And no doubt you've seen those scenes on television of some of the floods in some of the other countries around. Some of those countries don't have wonderful building practices, and You've probably seen those houses being swept away, the cameras trained on them as they just collapsed and fell into the water and got washed away. They had something like this in the Solomons not long ago, very recently. Well, do we want the house of our life to be swept away, to be washed away? We'd be foolish to want something like that. So who is the one who has wisdom like the person who builds on the rock? Who is the one who is like that? Look at verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. What does he do? Who is the wise man? He's the one who does two things. Firstly, he hears, and secondly, he puts them into practice. He hears Jesus' words. He has such a will that he will listen to Jesus, that he will listen to the word of God. Some don't, of course. Some people don't do that. They're so filled with life and everything that's going on to life that they don't take time to read the very words of God. They don't take time to meet with the people of God consistently. But the one who has wisdom will hear the word of God. But the really crucial thing is having heard the word of God to then put them into practice. The wise man is the one who will do that. It's one thing to hear the Bible. We've just heard the Bible read. It's one thing to listen to sermons. It's one thing to read the Bible for ourselves. It's another altogether to act upon it. James has an analogy, doesn't he, in his little book, in the book of James. He says this, let me just quickly find it. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. James says, don't merely listen to the word, do what it says. And that's the way of the wise man. That's what he does. He does what it says. From time to time, people write reports for government. I've been watching, perhaps because of my state of life, been watching a program on TV called The People Who Made Us Fat. I'm keen to find that out. We'll have words with them. But there was a... What did I see? But there was a... In England, certain policies changed. There was a big report created by some people, commissioned by the government, on the problem of growing obesity in England. And the report was completed and highlighted some of the problems in the food industry and submitted to the government, and then was promptly shelved. It's suggested that the food companies and the lobbyists got onto the government and made sure that it was put on the shelves and completely ignored. Nothing was put into practice. Nothing was changed, with the result that there are now huge obesity problems in the UK, just as there are in many other parts of the Western world. The wise person puts the words of Jesus into practice. They don't just leave them behind as they walk out the church or as they walk away from their Bible and forget what they saw. They put them into practice. They work, and thinking of here, of Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been talking about what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be a citizen of heaven. How do you live as a citizen of heaven? He's not talking about an optional lifestyle here. He's saying if you are God's child, you are to live as a citizen of heaven. And so what he's saying here is the wise person is the person who works to build his or her discipleship this way that I've just been explaining in the Sermon on the Mount. And so when the trials of life come, the storms of life, as it were, and the floods rise, and all the temptations that come with those difficulties come to our life, we stand as disciples of Jesus. And when the ultimate trial comes our way, the great judgment of God that every one of us will face, when that great trial comes, on that day we'll stand as disciples of Jesus. Well, what about the foolish man? Well, the foolish man builds his house on sand, a completely insecure foundation, especially in floods and the like. And when the storms come, the foundation is washed away, and the house is washed away with it. You've no doubt seen some of the footage on TV of shanty towns and slums being washed away in floods. Hundreds, thousands of people have their whole lives washed away when the floods come up. Sometimes we see those houses that have been built too near the water's edge, and they might have been built reasonably well, but they've been built foolishly, and the water just carves them away, and off them they go. Now, who is this foolish person who builds a house as stupidly as that? Who would do something as foolish as that? Look at verse 26. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. These people hear the word of God as well. They've heard the word of God. And it's important to realise that they've at least done that much. Some people are so foolish that they never hear the word of God. They won't hear it. They've decided for one reason or another to shut their minds to the word of God or their lives to it. At least these people have heard the word of God. But the foundation has not been laid. They don't put the words they've heard into practice. They feel as if just hearing the word has been enough, like that foolish person in James chapter 1. Oh, I've listened to my Bible reading on the tape today. I've heard that sermon. But they don't put it into practice. They don't actually act upon the word of God. Perhaps they're just comforted by hearing that word again and again. They feel secure in just hearing it. But they're on the sand. They don't realise they haven't got a foundation. So, for example, what do I mean by that? Well, Jesus, as I say, is talking firstly here about these words he's just been speaking. And so, back in the beginning of chapter 5, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Blessed are those, in other words, who realize they have nothing before God. Will we accept and admit that we've got nothing to offer God? If we will, we'll have the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says. We're not willing to mourn. We like the idea and the image of mourning before God, but we're not particularly grieved by the fact that God's kingdom is not here, that we're not in the presence of Jesus yet. We're too busy enjoying life right now. And we're not really interested in mourning for the kingdom of heaven. We don't want to do that because life is just too good. We're not willing to be meek. I know real life in this world, how can the meek person stand in the sort of business world or the cut and thrust of life in our world? No. We won't do that for now. And so on. A little later he talks about that commandment, do not murder. And he says, if anyone is angry with his brother, he'll be subject to judgment. And so the foolish person is the person who says, oh, yeah, I'll get around to that. But for now, I want to hold on to my anger towards that person. I really do. Because it makes me feel good to feel angry towards what they've done. I feel justified. I'm not going to give up my anger. And so on. We could go through the Sermon on the Mount, the various parts of the Sermon on the Mount. In 5:27, he talked about not committing adultery, that commandment, and said that anyone who's looked lustfully at a woman has committed adultery. The whole issue of porn comes up. This foolish person says, oh, no, I'm not sure I want to give up that. So the foolish person hears, but it's just water off a duck's back. Like the person who looks in that mirror, he walks away and just forgets about what he's just heard. Doesn't act on it. These people have built a house. They've become a disciple in some sense. But the foundation has not been set down upon a determination to carefully obey the word of Jesus. Their discipleship is a kind of loose thing, the sort of thing that they plug in around life as they feel they can. It's a casual sort of thing, because it's all about grace, of course, isn't it? That's what we say. Their discipleship is, well, it's a lifestyle thing. It's about adding certain aspects to our enjoyable life. And when the trials come, when the storms hit, and sometimes they can hit savagely in life, when the storms come, and all their temptation, their discipleship just collapses, disappears. It vanishes. So that when the ultimate trial comes, when the judgment of God comes, it's disaster. Absolute disaster. They're the fools. They like the notion of being a disciple, but they didn't have the determination to follow through and seriously put Jesus' words into practice. All of them. Disaster. So, how will you listen to this sermon? What will you do? What will you do? Some of you perhaps haven't even built a house yet. You're not yet a disciple. I hope you will become a disciple if you're not yet a disciple. Absolute disaster if you're not a disciple yet. And if and when you become a disciple, my hope is that you will be determined to seriously and properly follow Jesus, not superficially, just to add a bit of religion or church or whatever to your life. Others of you are disciples, you have the house, but you might realise today it's really pretty sandy soil under your house. And that perhaps you're headed for trouble when the storms do hit. Your house might actually get a bit shaky. It's time to move house. By which I mean move the whole house. I don't know whether you saw that program on TV called Monster Moves, where they spent all that time putting these buildings on trucks and moving away, and maybe you're at the point where you realise I actually need to be on firmer ground with Jesus. I need to be responding to his word much more responsibly than I have been. I need to move my house to rocky soil. How do you do it? Well, begin today. Begin this morning. Begin by asking God for such a measure of his Spirit that your heart would change towards his word, that his word would not be a light and occasional thing, but the throbbing heart of your life. Ask your Spirit to give you a deep passion for his word, the word of Jesus, and to help you start putting it into practice in your life. Some may be thinking, well, look, I'm okay. Got my house. My house seems fine. I'm enjoying life. It's good to know that I'm forgiven. Good to be part of a church. Good to do my Bible reading when I can. But you actually may be the fool. Are you actually working on putting Jesus' word into practice? Do you realise that perhaps your approach to your Christian life has been a bit lazy? And Jesus is saying here that the future ahead is that when the storms come, you may face collapse, disaster. You might need to move your house. Some of you are working hard on being disciples of Jesus. You're serious about being a disciple. You really want to put every word of Jesus into practice. Yes, the young people do it, and you do it as well. It matters to you. Well done. You are the wise person. When the storms come, you will stand. What sort of builder are you? What are you doing with the words of Jesus? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your precious word. Thank you for your precious Son. Forgive us for our neglect of your word. Forgive us for the lazy ways in which we hear your word but don't put it into practice at all. The way we can just walk away from the Bible or a sermon or whatever it may be and completely forget what happened, what was said, how it addressed us. Please help us by your Holy Spirit to change. Give us a heart that loves your word. Give us a heart that is ready to obey your word. And please help us to persevere in this through all the difficulties and pressures of life. Help us to truly love our Lord Jesus and follow him. We ask it in his name. Amen.